This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I respect that. We don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Monday morning. It is Election Day Eve and some big issues on the ballot for tomorrow. My full voter guide up at 971talk.com. Feel free to click on that. You can download it. It's a PDF. Check out if whether or not I've covered your local school board issue. Certainly one of the big issues in St. Louis County is Prop B. And if you're unfamiliar with it, it would... Let's see here. Let me read it to you. It would amend the charter, add to the charter, St. Louis County be amended to restore checks and balances, oversight, and accountability of the executive branch by authorizing removal of the St. Louis County councilor or any department director by 5 of the 7 council members. That's pretty straightforward, but Sam Page felt that that was deceiving and went to court to try to get it thrown out. And we've got attorney Kim Mathis on the phone with us right now, and she got a legal victory Friday afternoon late in the day. And Kim, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Obviously, I was happy about what happened on Friday. I wish it had happened a while ago, because we've had voting going on now for the last few weeks.
Yes.
And so, it changes things now that we don't have an election day any longer. We have an election season. So things that happen on the Friday prior to Election Day don't always hit the public. So
explain what was at stake here. I mean, the challenge was to the wording. If you, for example, had lost on Friday, would Prop B would the vote have not meant anything?
Well, okay. So what happened was in February, there's a deadline to change the ballot. Okay. And they've asked for a number of things, but a couple of days before the ballot, the deadline to change the ballot, they surprised the St. Louis County Council with a lawsuit and then ran in acting like it was emergent, even though the law firm was hired actually by the county councilor who's subject to Proposition B, because
right.
She's one of the people. The law firm was hired on January 7th. The day that the proposition appeared on the agenda for the first time. So she was hired, it was a team of attorneys were hired to, engage in litigation. And they filed it a couple days before and ran in and in a rush weekend thing saying, by Tuesday, this has to be off the ballot, Your Honor. And so he did two things. Number one, he declared it misleading. And then he also took it off the ballot. And quickly on February 11th, I got the ruling at about 9:45 in the morning. I quickly appealed the case for the county council and within a couple of hours, the appellate court did what we call stay the ruling, meaning stopped it from going into effect, which meant that the proposition would go on the ballot. Unfortunately, that other part of the ruling, which is called a declaratory judgment, it basically declares something. It declared the proposition misleading. And so then the county, under Sam Page's leadership, and at his direction, printed multiple pieces of what I would call campaign material and distributed them at county meetings, at update meetings, mailed them in. They mailed out postcards quoting the trial court's erroneous ruling that the ballot language is misleading, insufficient. Oh, it was a whole bunch of adjectives that make it sound like a whole lot worse than it is. It was all over the word restore, by the way. Restore. That's what it was about.
No kidding.
That's what I wondered. Yeah. What do you mean specifically restore?
Because it never had the power before to do this. They said the word restore made it seem like they did. And that is just a, it's just a bogus argument. I mean, restoring checks and balances can come from a lot of, can be a lot of, you know, can happen based on someone's conduct. You know, there are directors that have been non-responsive to the county council's concerns. The county council writes all the laws for the county, or at least they should be. And so the word restore was what caused, I believe, the judge to write that. And so that has now been overturned. But unfortunately, thousands and thousands of taxpayer dollars have been paid to educate the public on the word misleading that the trial court used, and that decision has been overturned. And in fact, the entire petition will be dismissed. The appellate court ruled that the original lawsuit that was filed in early February, a couple days before the ballot deadline, should be fully dismissed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. The bottom line is, though, for the past, what, month and a half, 2 months, Sam Page has spent a lot of taxpayer dollars, it sounds like, trying to send out flyers and lobby against Proposition B. Is there any legal fallout from that?
My understanding is that someone, I believe a resident of St. Louis, now, I don't know anything about this because I'm not working on it,
but
someone did file a Missouri Ethics Commission complaint, to my knowledge. At least I read about that. Because, you know, the Missouri Ethics Commission does root out this kind of thing, you know, and you can also file, I don't know if it happened, but you can also file with the Secretary of State. I want everybody to understand how much this is costing, because the county councilor went out and hired a very large law firm to represent the county, and they're capped at $400 an hour. However, the way the contract reads with this law firm is that it's an average of $400 an hour. And so, and this is this law firm, I haven't seen any of the bills, but I would anticipate it will come in at a couple $100,000, because they took this all the way up to the Supreme Court. There was a petition before the Supreme Court, and it was a petition to cancel what the trial court had done in terms of a stay order, and asked the Supreme Court to order that the election, once it occurs, just be canceled. Just, I mean, it's an audacious request. And the Supreme Court denied that within a few hours. But nonetheless, filing things with the Supreme Court costs money, and you're using appellate attorneys. I'm a sole practitioner that's doing this on my own, by the way. And I've actually done a lot of litigation for the council. And I was involved in the county councilors and Sam Page's attempt to remove Rita Hurd Days from her position on as a council chair. I was involved in I was Tim Fitch's attorney. I have been involved with the prosecutor battle, Dennis Hancock. I mean, you name it. So I'm on the other side of this repeatedly. And so here it was again. You know, I practice law in an area that I root out government waste and corruption. That's what I enjoy doing as an attorney. And so when I see these things happening, I mean, I was also involved, by the way, in the 2022 lawsuit that ended COVID restrictions. I filed that lawsuit.
Right.
Because those restrictions were being issued by a medical director as opposed to a legislative branch, which violates our Missouri Constitution. Well, so I care deeply about these issues.
And how fitting. I mean, of course, I'm supporting Prop B. And if we were ever to get ourselves back in a COVID situation again, it would give council a little bit of leverage and oversight over the county health director as well.
For sure. Yeah. That's a big disaster right now, the county health department. But yeah, and I just think that it's it's important for the public to understand that the county councilor has authorized payment on both sides of this case. So this is a lawsuit being paid for, and the Board of Election is involved, right. And so they're paid, their attorneys are paid by tax dollars. So we're talking about a lawsuit that has three parties in it, a plaintiff and two defendants, all of which are being paid for by the county.
The county, and they're poor-mouthing, needing more money. Kim Mathis, thank you for your time this morning.
All right. No problem. Have a great day, guys.
Congrats on the big win. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Sorry, I hit the button. She was thanking me there, I think. But anyway, I wanted to explain that. Prop B's on the ballot. Vote yes. It's on my voter guide. We'll talk more about it in a few minutes. What's going on with these protests nationwide? And did you see one? Did you run into one? We're going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff about all of that when we come back in just a minute.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right, Jesse Jane, those were some protesters in D.C. For the big hands-off rally this weekend, holding signs that said, "Socialism trumps fascism."
Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
You know, they really... Those. Right. They're really living in their own bubble because now their own socialism is what they're protesting. Is that exactly it? You know, I'm blown away at no matter what Trump says, they go with the opposite. And now they've actually are starting to defend the wealthy, the oligarchs, the medical, pharmaceutical industry, you name it, George Soros, you name it, whatever it is that Trump is against, they are for. And now they're supporting all of Wall Street when Trump is trying to ensure that we get these tariffs in place because the countries have been enabling their, they have disabled American products from being able to even be in their own country. I lived in Japan. You want to know what a tariff was like over there? It was a 500% tariff on many of the products.
Wow.
I had Japanese girlfriends that would say, hey, can I get a Lancome lipstick? Can you buy that for me on base? It would run them well over $100 or yen, you know, the value of it. And I could get it on base for 25. And for me, as a little corporal in the Marine Corps at the time, I was like, okay, that's expensive. However, compared to what they would pay, ridiculous. So my point is that these tariffs have enabled these countries to prosper off of American backs. And Trump has been saying this since the 80s. He has been on top of this since the 80s. He's a businessman. He knew exactly how these products were being made overseas, shipped to the United States at a fraction of the cost simply because they tariffed us out of work.
Well, listen to Nancy Pelosi back in 1996. Listen to this.
In terms of tariffs, I think it's interesting to note that the average U.S. MFN tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States is 2%, whereas the average Chinese MFN tariff on U.S. goods going into China is 35%. Is that reciprocal?
Yeah, well, there was a point when Nancy Pelosi agreed completely with Donald Trump. What's wrong with these people?
Well, they obviously are buckling down harder, and that's why their approval rating has now dropped to 23%. So President Trump has been exceptionally strategic in making them all go crazy.
Yes.
I'm going to invade Panama. I'm going to invade Greenland. I am going to make sure that I have a third term, and their heads are exploding.
Yep.
He's not even being really all that serious with them, and they're falling forward hook, line, and sinker because it reveals themselves. Their agenda comes out. It surfaces. All of these protests have been paid protesters. We have evidence of that. So very few people are going to take the time to go down there and start protesting Elon Musk for revealing all of the corruption that's going on in our government. No logical thinking person is going to do that. And they're trying to convince people he's going to take away your Social Security when there is absolutely zero evidence of that. They're spreading so much disinformation to a point now where even the left doesn't believe them. They've dropped to 23% approval rating. They're mad when we take the illegals out of this country and send them to the prisons. They'll find one guy that got slipped in there who might not have been necessarily a horrible or as horrible person, but was still here illegally, and use him as their mantra for this is why we don't deport illegals. They don't want to acknowledge all of those that have been murdered, raped, killed, let alone those that have gotten DUIs multiple times and killed families, been deported multiple times and come back, or how they're being paid below the table so that employers don't have to pay their share of taxes. It's always the left that wants to hire the illegals because then they can skirt the system, which is basically now slavery because none of them have human rights. Oh, they want to say who's going to pick your crops. We have work visa programs. There's no reason ever, ever to have illegals picking your crops because now you know that they're abused, yep. They are not treated well, and they're not treated fairly.
So I saw it was a reporter who asked Trump something about, if the stock market takes a big enough dip, at what point would you be willing to kind of loosen up on these tariffs? And his response, well, first it was, that was a stupid question. And the next part was, this is fair. Like you said, these are reciprocal. This is what needs to happen. And yeah, it might hurt a little bit. I mean, is that even a reasonable question, or where do we draw the line here on the stock market? Because eventually what goes down goes up, right?
Absolutely. And I think these reporters are all in this panic mode. It's like, well, gee, if we get rid of DOGE and we lose all these jobs, then there's not people. If we lose all these jobs, then there's people not employed. But what they don't care about is all the money that's going to waste. So, yes, there will be people that have to lose their jobs, unfortunately. And there are many people that are good people. But the market will absorb many of these people and we get them into private enterprise. One of the biggest things that Joe Biden did was climb the jobs numbers by increasing government jobs.
Yes.
They increased the VA alone in 4 years. By 80,000 people. That's
wow.
Absurd. 80,000. And yet the VA is still dysfunctional. So please tell me how that was effective.
Never
so
heard.
Where does the line get drawn? We have to get the markets to reset. They have to be based upon realistic numbers, not about the fat cats profiting off of cheap labor.
I got to run, Jesse Jane. Thank you as always.
Right, take the hill.
We're going to. Thank you, Jesse Jane Duff. JesseJaneDuff.com. You can hear her on there. Tom Ackerman coming up. We'll talk a little bit of Blues action, maybe the national championship game tonight as well. We'll be right back.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchorman, not Anchorlady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, we got Tom Ackerman in studio, and a great weekend, of course, for the St. Louis Blues, the big national championship tonight for NCAA basketball.
Man, this is the best time of year. I know the Cardinals got their butts whipped last night. We'll talk about that in a second, but it is a great, great time of year. You got baseball going, hockey's getting close to the playoffs, college basketball championship tonight, women was yesterday, NASCAR's getting rolling here, the Masters. They start this week, mm-hmm. Although I just heard the practice round got rained out. That's a bummer because people, win a lottery just to go.
I have
so
a friend
go
who's
all
there.
The way down there to have Monday tickets, and they're like, sorry, everyone's got to go home.
Well, they got down there in time to see the women's amateur championship.
Oh, cool.
Which I watched a little bit of on Sunday, I think. They had beautiful weather for that.
Yeah.
So they got to see that, and then they were hoping to see at least one of the practice rounds.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm gonna make it down there one of these
years.
Is it
Augusta?
It'll be fun. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna do it at some point. Battlehawks playing last night.
Right.
City playing on Sunday. You're gonna have all three. Well, three of the four. The Blues won't be playing, but you have the Cardinals, City, and the Battlehawks all have games Sunday. This coming Sunday at home.
Yeah.
Downtown's going
to
be hopping.
Supposed to be a beautiful weekend, too, right? Temperatures back up in the 70s,
uh-huh.
I think.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So if you're a restaurant owner here in downtown St. Louis, stay open and
next Sunday,
be
yeah.
fully staffed because you're going to have a lot of thirsty people downtown, no doubt about it. So, yeah, fun time of year for sports. I mean, let's get the bad one out of the way first. The Cardinals got absolutely blown out last night. And that was, not even the worst thing that happened during the day. So they lose 18-7. That was so predictable. You can't even, I can't even tell you. I mean, Miles Michaelis, who throws strikes, and the Red Sox, who were just hungry and hitting the ball like crazy, you knew it was going to happen because the Cardinals burned out their bullpen in game one. Game one was excruciating. Much worse loss than the 18. 18-7, they started losing, okay, they're going to get killed tonight. The first game was horrible. I mean, the Cardinals had the game in their grasp, and Ryan Helsley never gives up a game. and he walks four in the ninth inning, and the Cardinals get beat. He blows the save. They go to extra innings, and they lose 5-4, a game they should have had. They played a really good game, and that's not even the worst thing that happened yesterday. Those two losses, losing Ivan Herrera was a bad loss. Now, they caught a break because Herrera's knee is not structurally damaged. An MRI showed no tears, no structural damage. But Ivan Herrera was the Cardinals' best hitter going into this series. He hit a home run Friday at Fenway. He's on a tear. And then he hurts his knee. Inflammation in his knee running the bases. So they put Pedro Pájez in the game in his place, and Pájez goes off, has a great game one. I mean, everything was set up for a wonderful day, and then Helsley blows the save, and just the inevitable happens. Your pitching staff is burned out. You're banking on Miles Michaelis and Gordon Graceffo to beat the Red Sox on Sunday night at Fenway. Are you kidding me? No chance. So they get killed 18-7. One thing that happened, though, to the Cardinals that I didn't even mention on KMOX today or yesterday because I was so down about the Cardinals getting beat up, but they set a National League record yesterday. The Cardinals did. Their first nine games of the season, they've had 10 or more hits in each of the nine games. No team in National League history has ever done it.
Wow.
Never. Nobody. The Cardinals have, in nine straight games, had 10 or more hits. So the offense is not the problem. And isn't that amazing? I mean, I've never heard. It's incredible.
That's pretty amazing.
And the all-time record is Cleveland, 10. So if the Cardinals get 10 or more hits tonight in Pittsburgh, they will tie the all-time record, which is kind of cool. Anyway, the Cardinals got beat up. Their staff now leans on Matthew Liberatore to do the job. It's just, if it's not one thing, it's the other. What do we all worry about with the Cardinals? They can't hit. No offense. Well, the opposite has happened. Their pitching staff has let them down.
Wow.
So let's talk Blues real quick because obviously Carl was there. You were there. I was at a wedding down the street.
And I've got a little more time today if that helps. But
okay, good.
Yes, the Blues don't play great and still win games. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean,
they try to lose.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh played them tough. Sidney Crosby, just it's a treat to see a player like that. And I know we had history made last night with Alex Ovechkin beating Gretzky's record, and it's so cool to see those two on the ice. And I thought about that I had a chance to see Sidney Crosby on Thursday. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and everything he does is right. I mean, you watch him in the game, every pass he makes, every shift is just perfect, and he's a Hall of Famer. He had a hat trick the next game following the Blues game, but I thought, he could have had four goals in the game at Enterprise, and the Blues still would have won. They always just find a way. It's unreal.
Someone commented, the other teams that the Blues are playing, they're not trying as hard, if they're already in the playoffs, and so the Blues aren't having the stiff competition they would normally have.
Why don't you say that, not you, Kim, but why don't that commenter say that to one of those players' faces? I'd like to see you say that to an NHL player. You know what I always say about soft schedule is soft schedule means that you're good. So if you're playing a soft schedule, that means they're saying that you're a good team and that you're better than all the teams on your schedule.
That's true.
You're right, actually. Yeah. The Blues are better than all those teams. The Blues are really good. So
what about tonight, Tom?
Tonight's going to be a challenge. Tonight they play at Winnipeg, and this could be where the streak ends. They've won 12 in a row, and they're 2 points ahead of Minnesota for the top wild card spot in the West. That's just where you want to be. You want to be that top wild card spot. You'll play Vegas in the first round. Perfect. I think Vegas is beatable. I'd like to avoid Dallas and Winnipeg and some of these other teams.
You want the Pacific route.
I would love the Pacific route. That would be my theme
LA.
for the playoffs, the Pacific route. I think the Blues have a chance to be very, very special here in April, May, and hopefully June.
Yeah, no kidding.
We'll see.
It's good, yeah. So everybody's bracket's blown that I know, except I did pick Houston to win it all. I picked Duke to get beat earlier. I didn't pick them to the Final Four. Obviously, they made it. I'm ABD. Anybody but Duke.
Yeah,
so I don't really care
you.
Who wins tonight, but I did pick Houston to win.
Yeah. Duke's fans just, they can be annoying. Especially
unlike Kentucky fans.
Especially when they became fans like last week, But Duke is, you respect the program and all that stuff. But I was hearing, you know, from Duke fans, like, man, we haven't been in a title game in 10 years. Like, oh, cry me a river.
Thank you.
You know, come on, man. I'm an Indiana fan. We haven't been to the title game since 02. Missouri's never been to the Final Four. Illinois never won a title. SLU would die to get in the tournament, just to get in the tournament. So that,
all about perspective.
Yes. So I get it. It does annoy me. Okay, to go back to that, no, there's no chance I would have put four number one seeds in my bracket ever. I don't think I've ever done it in my life. I always go for a couple of underdogs in there. But that said, this was a great Final Four already. I mean, four excellent teams. Houston's comeback over Duke was amazing. Amazing. It was also a stunning collapse by Duke at the exact same time. And Florida's awesome. You know, they handled Auburn, and I could see them winning tonight, but I'm going to pick Houston tonight. I feel like Houston's going to get it done. They're focused now after a great win over Duke. I can see them winning the title tonight in San Antonio.
And it does me no good. Even though I picked them to go all the way, I lost enough in the early rounds that I'm way back somewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, just have fun. That's actually why I prefer not to fill out a bracket, because then I get all disappointed. I just want to enjoy the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, if my team's not in it, which we haven't been in it in couple years.
That's true.
All right. Well,
Tommy, thank you, my friend.
A pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
We appreciate
it. See you, Tom.
Bye, absolutely. Tom. All right. Coming up, we are going to hit the voter guide again and talk to another one of the candidates I've got on there. Of course, Election Day Eve, even though it's sort of election month, as Attorney Kim Mathis said earlier, which is why these legal issues she was dealing with can be a bit of a hassle when it leaves things up in the air. But we'll talk about all of that and more right after the break. Stay tuned. Beautiful day, a little chilly out there. No excuse not to go vote. Go get it knocked out today so you don't have to worry about it tomorrow, even though tomorrow is technically election day. If you're in the sound of my voice on the Missouri side of the river, you can vote today. Let's get some good turnout for these elections. My voter guide is up on the website, 971talk.com. I've got all the school board races that I've picked up there, Fox C6, Francis Howell, Jefferson County Community College, Kirkwood, Lindbergh, Webster Groves, Wentzville. All of my picks are on there. You know, I'm a yes on Prop B in St. Louis County, and I have picked two mayor's races. One in Cottleville, where I endorsed Bob Ronkowski out there, and also in Chesterfield, where I have endorsed Derek Greer, who's running for mayor, and we have Derek on the phone this morning. Derek, welcome back. How are you?
Well, good morning, Mark. I'm doing great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you've served on city council out there. You've been a state representative, and now you want to take over as mayor.
Well, I tell you what, these local elections are so incredibly important, Mark. You know this, and I'm so grateful to you for putting out that voter guide to everybody to help drive out votes. But, the local government, you know, they have an outsized impact on our lives, and they have the lowest turnout of all the elections. And so I'm passionate about keeping Chesterfield conservative, keeping West County conservative. We need strong leaders in there with the right skill sets. That are going to fight for things like liberty for the people, right? Going to fight for things like strong fiscal conservative spending at the local level. And, I think that, you know, we've got to keep those local strongholds. And Chesterfield is one that's been purpling for a while. And we need to get the message out to conservatives. Get out to the polls tomorrow. Drive out that vote, because you really, at the local level, your vote has an outsized impact when you go, because the voter turnout is so low. I think it's like, what, 12%, something like that, Mark?
It was unbelievably low in some areas. I think it was maybe 13 or 14 in some areas. I think, Rick Stream told me he's hoping to get 20% voter turnout this year, maybe a little higher in some districts where there's a more competitive race. I don't know. That's disappointing to me. I'd love to see these elections move to the fall, where you automatically are going to have more voter turnout. But in the meantime, talk to me about Chesterfield. What are some of the big issues? Obviously, they're tearing down the Chesterfield Mall. That's going to be a tremendous development that you guys will be working on the next few years.
It is, you know, and really in the next couple of years, the decisions that we're going to be making at the local level in Chesterfield are going to be shaping not just Chesterfield, but the whole region for the next 30 years. 40 years ago, Lewis Sachs and his vision for Chesterfield was just kind of getting off the ground. And we've kind of realized what Lewis Sachs's vision was for Chesterfield. And now we're kind of looking at, what do we want to be for the next 30 years? The mall development is a massive, massive impact on our region. And the decisions that we're making in terms of how we spend those TIF dollars, and there's a lot of controversy around that TIF. I understand that. It's already in place. They signed the deal. It's done. But now how do we spend those dollars? How do we make sure that it's going to the right projects, that we're prioritizing things in a fiscally conservative manner? And I'll give you one example, Mark. So the library, the Lewis Sachs Library there, it's in perfectly good condition. It's been renovated in the last couple of years to the tune of $6 million, I believe. Well, the plan is to entirely scrape that Lewis Sachs Library, get rid of it, and build a brand new one using taxpayer dollars. $8 to $12 million is what they're expecting. And $6 million of TIF funds are going to go towards it. So, you know, me personally, I look at that and I say, is that the right priority for our region? Is that the right thing that we should be spending our money on? Some of the other big decisions that are coming up, you know, we've got an opportunity to lead in industries like ag tech, fintech, but also, if you've heard of Gateway Studios, Mark?
I have not, no. Oh, you mean the new one they're building down there? Yeah, I have.
Yes. So that is a massively impactful project. And, you know, Chesterfield in our region could be a mecca for music in the next couple of years if we position ourselves correctly with that project. It's one of only two in the entire country. We're going to have the top talent in the entire world coming to Chesterfield to practice their shows before they go on the road. So all of the ancillary businesses around that, it's exciting. And really, that's what I've spent a lot of my career on. In the House, I was chair of the Economic Development Committee, working on things like driving workforce, helping people that want to get to work, driving economic development. And those skill sets, I think, are what our region need right now more than anything else. We really need to focus in on helping small businesses, entrepreneurs be successful, because it's tough out there right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. The website is voteDerekGreer.com. Derek, best of luck tomorrow, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.
Derek Greer, candidate for the Chesterfield mayor position there. Yeah, that studio ought to be pretty cool. I've been watching them work on it there. You can see it from the highway as you're going back and forth right down the Chesterfield
Valley. I know
somebody
that's building that. It's going to be fantastic.
It looks pretty amazing. It's taken them a long time to put it together.
They're
for
doing
sure.
it right.
Hey, by the way, let me just go down this again on the school board list. Fox C6, Kenneth Woolsey, Francis Howe, Randy Cook, and Ashley Sturm. You heard them on the show earlier today. Jefferson County Community College, Bob Boyer. In Kirkwood, Ryan Rowe. In Lindbergh, David Randleman and Russ Dahmer. In Webster Groves, Justin Hawk. In Wentzville, Christina McCormick and Danielle Looney. Get out there and vote. Make it a point to get out today if you can. Again, I'm a yes on Prop B, which would effectively rein in County Executive Sam Page and allow the County Council with a supermajority vote to go in and fire or discipline county department heads who right now just choose to ignore the council. So Prop B corrects that. So we are a yes on Prop B. There's no excuse not to get your tail out and vote today.
Yeah, you didn't endorse people if you felt like they were both NEA. Like, you don't have anyone in my school board race. It's not like you overlooked it or don't care. There's no one that you can put your name behind.
Right. That's kind of how that went. You may or may not find your race on there, but these are the people that definitely deserve for you to turn out and vote for them. Please do. Please do. Nothing more important we're going to do. Hey, we'll get to Kilmeade coming up here in a few minutes. Of course, Annie and Mark in later today, and we'll be in here with all of your election morning coverage tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.